How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. DNA Today informs you on what's happening in the genetic world. During my broadcast here, I educate you, the public, on genetics and health topics through event coverage, news stories, book movie reviews, and interviews. Guests include genetic counselors, researchers, doctors, patient advocates, and professors. My guest today is Raffi Mendelson. He is the director of public relations and social media at MyHeritage. And MyHeritage is the largest family history and DNA company that helps consumers to discover their ethnic origins and find new relatives. Their new pro bono initiative, DNA Quest, is currently happening, and it's helping adoptees and their birth families reunite through this genetic testing, which we're going to be exploring in this episode. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kara.
Now, this is a really exciting kind of pro bono initiative you guys are doing to help kind of reunite a lot of people to family that they may have lost. Can you tell us more about kind of this DNA Quest initiative?
Sure. So we're really excited about it. And our aim is to help adoptees and those searching for those their biological family through genetic testing. So we're going to be providing, it's roughly around $1 million worth of DNA kits for free to those that are searching for their biological family. And so over the course of April, we are encouraging people to go onto dnaquest.org and apply and fill in some basic details. And then we're going to be sending out thousands of kits across the US in May. And the DNA test, the swab itself is very simple. It's a quick swab on the inside of your cheek, and then you send it to our lab. And then it takes roughly around 4 to 6 weeks for the results to come in. So come June and July, we're going to see lots of results come back to those adoptees across the US who are looking for their family, some of whom have been looking for family for 30, 40, 50 years. And hopefully we're going to help them be able to find answers for those questions that they've been searching for so long. And as part of this project, we brought on a team of advisors, an advisory board of stakeholders, charities, individuals, other organizations that themselves have been working for many years for the adoptee community. And so, for example, Brianne Kirkpatrick, who was the person who featured on episode 56, actually.
Yes.
And she's a genetic counselor. And she is one of our advisors who's joining us to help spread the word, but also make sure that the project is as successful as it possibly can be. So we're really excited, and we hope to be able to help thousands of people across the US be able to help find those answers that they've been searching for so long.
And this is such a big project, and I'm really, really glad to hear that you have so many people involved in the project, like Brianne, who's a genetic counselor. Now, how did this project start? I mean, it's so big right now. What's the response been kind of around the globe? You said you're focused on United States right now, but this project kind of scopes outwards.
Absolutely. And at this stage, we are going to be focusing on adoptions that took place in the U.S. And there are a number of reasons why. We feel that if we can focus on a particular area concentrated on one country, then it's more likely to maximize the impact and the successfulness of the project. And we may expand the scope of the project to other countries and to other groups of people in the future. But also what we've really been seeing over the last year and a half from adoptees across the US is that depending on the state you're from, most states make it very, very difficult for adoptees to be able to find information. There are many closed adoption papers, and being able to find the bits of evidence that you need in order to be able to close the gap and find those people is very, very difficult. Even for those parents who may have given their children up for adoption, the Europe can be very difficult. And so by focusing on the US, we feel that we can have the biggest impact. So to answer your question is we have had a tremendous response. The reaction has been incredible. But over the last year and a half where MyHeritage has been, you know, in the DNA business, then we've also seen and had quite a really positive surprise as to the impact that genetic genealogy can have on adoptees. So yeah, it was actually nearly 15 years ago that MyHeritage as a company was established by our CEO, Gilad Jafet, who himself is very interested and was interested in learning more about his family history and found it very difficult to do so. And so really the aim of the company is to help people discover and learn more about their family history. And it was for that reason, a year and a half ago, we launched MyHeritage DNA. And one of most amazing things we've seen is the power of DNA and genetic genealogy when it came to adoptees. And so being able to see those families connect, and we've seen a few hundred cases around the world just over the last year and a half of people being able to find their family that they've been searching for, like I said, 30, 40, sometimes 50 years, has been quite amazing and has really been the inspiration for us to launch DNA Quest.
And that's just so powerful for people, as you said, that have been searching for their biological family for a long time. And not only is this kind of child and parent, but often, you know, child and other siblings they didn't know about. And so it's kind of opening up a whole new world for them and really an experience that they probably wouldn't have had if it wasn't for genetic testing like this. Because you're really able to say, okay, yes, you are biologically related in this way or whatever. So it's just amazing that you're able to offer this. And I just can't imagine being in this position where you are reunited with biological family.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's pretty life-changing. But purely from a, you know, almost, you know, selfish view, or from a spectator view, being able to be on the phone and help and speak to our users who have taken a DNA test, and for them to be telling you about their experiences and the challenge that they've had over so many years in searching for their family, and then to see the process and then see their reaction has been amazing. And so there have been quite a few cases of people getting in touch. You know, they've done a DNA test, they think they've almost found the person that they're searching for, and then we've tried to help as many people as possible, you know, close the gap and break through those brick walls. And that's pretty amazing.
Is there a particular reunion story that's really stood out to you, either you've been a part of or you've heard from another employee?
There have been so many reunion stories, but actually, yes, there is one that stands out. And I think it really is an example of the power of genetic genealogy. And so we had one user, Kyle, he's from New Jersey, and he was adopted at a young age and has been searching for his family. He's in his 30s, and he did a DNA test and was connected. One of his matches was Sheila, who lives in Colorado, who is his second cousin and is also, as it happens, also adopted. And so Kyle and Sheila were connected to each other. They weren't able to find a match with their parents or siblings that they were hoping for. But they themselves had conducted quite a lot of research over the years. And so having a match to each other as second cousins, they were able to pool their research. And in fact, through each other, were able to both find their fathers and siblings. And so it was a match, but it resulted in two reunions. And I think that really shows the power of genetic genealogy. If someone is searching for someone and they don't have that immediate connection and match with the person they're searching for, they automatically though receive all these matches of relatives that they've never knew about previously, and it's through them that they can also be able to find those answers. So I think it was such a really great story, and Carl and Sheila have both met with their family and have reunited with their family. And actually yesterday we heard from Sheila that she is going with her father on a camper van, and they're going on a kind of traveling holiday together. So it's a really, you know, seeing the continuation of these stories as well and these reunions is pretty amazing.
Wow. And that's just one, as you said, hundreds that are happening. I do want to play an audio clip from a reunion story on your website of Robin and Becky.
I've always wanted to be a mom. I gave birth to a daughter in Honolulu, Hawaii. and I was 15. When I had this baby, I got to count her toes and fingers and make sure that she was whole and she was perfect. And that was the last time I saw her.
I had been thinking about doing a DNA test for a couple of years just because I was adopted and I wanted to know where I really came from, what my DNA, what my heritage was. I talked to my fiance and he said, absolutely, let's do it. Let's find out where you're from. Let's use my heritage DNA and get that information so you know who you are.
Recently, working on family history, my husband and I did our DNA, and I received a little message from my heritage, and I read, we found a match for you, and it had a name, Becky Skousen, 49.1%, and then in bold, it said daughter. So I got on Facebook and I messaged Becky. Hi, my name's Robin Adair Passy.
And if you are who I think you are, then I've been looking for you practically my whole life.
Oh my gosh! I can't believe you're here.
Yay!
Isn't she beautiful?
One of the things that she really, really got to me was when she said,
what to call you, Robin ? Or mom ? And I kind of, my heart just dropped and I said to myself, oh my gosh. So I texted her and said, whatever you're comfortable with, but I'm okay with mom. And she texted me back and said, okay, mom it is.
She said, my parents never do anything spontaneously. And I go, well, welcome to our family.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah.
No, I'm the spontaneous one in my family, so.
Yeah.
I have no idea where you got that from.
Yeah.
Once I found my birth mom and all the siblings I have, it kind of made that fit complete. Like the empty pieces are now filled in.
Just by getting into the DNA database at MyHeritage DNA, you could get a message that could change your life to find out you have a close match, whether it's a cousin, a first cousin that could lead you to your grandparents, or in this case, a mother-daughter match, which was incredible. And so I encourage everybody who is searching to use MyHeritage DNA.
Robin and Becky are an amazing example, and amazing to see their story. But what we're also seeing now is globally more reunions that are taking place. You know, we had two sisters, one who was adopted originally from Holland and was adopted by a family in Australia, and then she got a match with her sister who's in Holland. And so being able to see those international families, you know, we saw two Swedish siblings who were originally adopted from South Korea. They didn't know of each other's existence and they had a match to each other. And so they actually, by complete coincidence, live 600 kilometers away from each other in Sweden. And so seeing in the US and around the world, because there are over 1.3 million people in the DNA database of MyHeritage, all around the world, we're seeing those connections take place around the world as well, which is pretty special.
That is amazing, just how big your database is, so that when you are submitting your DNA, you know, you're comparing it to that whole database, right? So that you're able to connect people that are, you know, in your large database.
Absolutely. And we've developed tools to make it easier for people to make sense and to go through their matches, to be able to contact and discover more about their closest matches. And so we've developed those kinds of tools. A chromosome browser, which is something that we had feedback from the genealogy community, that's a really powerful tool for genetic genealogists. And so having those matches from around the world, but then also what do you do with them? Being able to go through them, contact family members, being able to place them on your family tree is also really important as part of this process.
So now in a case where there is maybe multiple family members that are searching for a biological family member that was adopted out of the family, who is really the best person to submit their DNA, you know, when you're in a situation of multiple family members being able to?
Yeah, so actually, just testing one biological family member, a parent or a sibling, is sufficient. In fact, when it comes to the DNA, there isn't a need to test more than that. And so, if there's a family that's looking, or multiple people that are looking for the same person, then just going onto DNAQuest.org and having a parent or a sibling or the closest DNA match, and applying that way is sufficient.
So someone that's kind of more closely related makes sense to submit their DNA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although, having said that, like I mentioned with Sheila and Carl earlier, we have had cases where there are cousins, and then through the cousins, they're able to make that match. However, where possible, if there is a parent or sibling or aunt or uncle, then they should apply through DNA Quest.
So lots of flexibility that you guys offer. Is there an option for adoptees and biological family members who have already had their DNA sequenced, either from MyHeritage or another direct consumer company? Is there a way they can upload this information to then join your database?
Actually, yeah, there is. Throughout the time that MyHeritage DNA has been around, we have allowed anyone that's taken a DNA test with another company to upload their DNA test for free, to be able to find more matches and maybe other that aren't available elsewhere. And so they can do so for free, just visiting the MyHeritage website. If they are adopted, if they're looking for biological family and they themselves would like to be involved in DNA Quest, even if you've taken a DNA test before, you should go on to dnaquest.org and fill in the application, and then we will show you and help you how to upload, but also through our advisory board, the materials that we're developing as well, we'll be able to share all of that information to help you make sense of it. Maybe you've had a match with a cousin, maybe you need some help in using a chromosome browser, so you should still apply. But then if you've done a test before, there isn't a need to do another one. You can actually upload it.
So now you've mentioned that through April, you're offering this testing. Again, this is free for people that are looking for biological family members. What's the timeline from the project after April of people submitting their tests? You kind of mentioned June, July of getting results.
Yep. So the applications close on the 30th of April. And so after that stage, in May, we're going to be distributing, it's going to be approximately 15,000 DNA kits for free across the US to those searching for their biological family. And then it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to get the results back, and you receive it back via email. And so in June, July, we expect those who have received their kit to get their results back. And then from there, both MyHeritage and the advisory board that we're working with are going to be on hand to help celebrate in the answers that are being found, help those that have questions, and continue searching with others as well. And so that process isn't over, it's just beginning, and we're going to be helping them throughout.
And so this summer is going to be a very exciting time of just seeing so many reunions happening from this testing.
Absolutely. And it's seeing the reunions over the last year and a half that has really inspired us and provoked us to do a bit more. We see that there's a window in time. We have, like I said, over 1.3 million DNA kits in our database. But also more than that, there is a window of opportunity now. We've seen some cases where people have found biological family. They found parents who have actually passed away in the last couple of years. So we feel that there's an important there's urgency in taking part and in doing in launching DNA Quest, because there is this window of time where we really want to help those find their biological before it's too late.
Definitely. And what can you tell us that's maybe new at MyHeritage DNA? Is there any kind of updates or innovations that are happening?
So we're constantly adding tools and innovations for users to get the most out of their DNA test, and that's any user, regardless you know, if you're adopted or not, if you've taken, if you've bought a MyHeritage kit, if you've uploaded to the MyHeritage site. So we're constantly making changes. For example, when you review your DNA matches, you can see how much DNA you share, the estimated relationship, shared segments. We've added pedigree charts and shared ethnicities so that the experience is much richer. We've also added, as I mentioned earlier, a chromosome browser, which are basically your DNA segments, which are visualized. So you can identify the shared segments between you and your DNA matches. And then we've updated that to add a chromosome browser, one to many. So you can do the same process with you and now up to 7 of your DNA matches. And that is an important tool that we have heard from the genetic genealogy community, and we're constantly adding and going to be making changes throughout the next few months and the next year.
That's very cool, the chromosome browser. I'm kind of just picturing what it might look like, and I graduated with a cytogenetics degree, so I'm very chromosome oriented, and it really is a great way to visualize your DNA and kind of you know, our DNA is very long, so to kind of split it up and group it into chromosomes is kind of an easier way to look at it and comprehend what's happening. And cool that you're able to then compare to other people and really see that.
Yeah, and then we were discussing earlier about for those that do know multiple members of their family and then DNA testing them, and you can then, with other matches, once you've identified the shared segments on your maternal side, your paternal side, with your other matches, you can then identify where they fit in your family tree. So really the objective and our aim is to help people discover and learn more about their family history and more about their family tree, and make it as easy as possible to do that. So the combination of being able to build family trees, and there are over 40 million family trees built by MyHeritage users around the world who have done so in 42 languages, the combination of that and DNA testing, you know, the bringing that together for genetic genealogy is pretty powerful.
It really is. Families that are going through this reunion process and everything that's probably going to be happening for them this summer, do they have the option of sharing this story publicly through MyHeritage?
Absolutely. So we love to hear about these stories. We also love to hear from people who are on their journey, and they maybe have done a DNA test and they have matched, but they're not quite sure how to make sense of it, or you know, there have even been cases where we have helped adoptees contact their family members that they found and make that first contact. We really try and help in any way possible that we can. For all of those cases, we love to hear about that. You can get in touch through the Facebook page, through stories@myheritage.com. And any number of ways that you can reach us. We also have for those who are interested and love hearing about these stories, or want to take maybe some inspiration themselves, who have maybe come across some brick walls, you can visit stories.myheritage.com, and you can see some of those stories, including some of those we discussed and we mentioned earlier, on that site. But I warn you that if you are going to visit, please have some tissues ready, because some of those stories are pretty powerful and emotional.
They really are. I was watching them before this interview, and they're really, really powerful, and it's emotional in a very positive way, that, you know, you're seeing these people come together for the first time and seeing their journeys, and it's really amazing. And I want to thank you on behalf of the adoptee community for offering this, and just so many kits and so much money that's behind this. So it's been so interesting to learn about this. The genetic side is just so, you know, fascinating, but, you know, really the human aspect of bringing these families together is just so powerful. So people can go to @MyHeritage again on Facebook and Twitter, and blog.myheritage.com. And to actually order the test, they can go to dnaquest.org. Is that correct?
Yep, dnaquest.org, and you fill out the application, and then we'll be in touch with you in May.
Great. And before we end the episode, I do want to remind everyone that DNA Day is coming up on April 25th. So you can check out my episode on the history of DNA Day and other fun facts. That's at dnapodcast.com. along with Twitter at DNA Podcast and Instagram at DNA Radio. And any questions for myself or Rafi can be sent to info@dnapodcast.com. Thanks so much for coming on the show and really enlightening us on, you know, how powerful this genetic testing can be and how you can help listeners.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Thanks for listening, guys, and join me next week to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.